Nurses and Hypochondriacs, the podcast that brings nurse experts, patients, and hypochondriacs together to discuss hot topics in healthcare. And here is your host, Ercilia Pompilio.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking. It's like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking. It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines. I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
I'm sorry I had to wake you. I'm just looking for a doctor. There's nothing to worry about.
Stewardess, I think the man sitting next to me is a doctor.
Sir, excuse me, sir. I'm sorry I have to wake you. You a doctor?
That's right.
We have some passengers that are very sick. Could you come take a look at them?
Yes. Yes, of course.
One thing, do you know what he had for dinner?
Yes, of course. We both had fish. Why?
Oh, it's nothing to be alarmed about. We'll be back to you very quickly.
Well, a 15-year-old picked a bad day to take a flight on Alaska Airlines a few months ago, actually, because she got kicked off. Not because she was unruly or anything like that, or that she really did anything wrong. Well, the only thing wrong that she did was that she had an allergy to cats. And there happened to be a cat on the plane sitting next to her, I believe. But the cat actually had purchased a seat. But anyway, she got kicked off the plane. And we're going to be discussing this today. It seems to be an issue. I didn't know it was an issue until I started doing the research, and this has happened many, many times. I'm going to welcome our guest today. Her name is Kelly McCarron. She just might be the most adorable stand-up comedian you'll ever see. She has a delightful demeanor and her biting sense of humor. She charms her audiences with making their bellies ache with laughter. Kelly has a way of bringing all audiences together by taking topics such as obesity, being a late bloomer in a digital world, and mental health, all while finding the hilarity in it all with its unique yet somehow so relatable to us. She's also a writer, a performer. She's a stand-up comic since 2007. She has worked at many clubs and colleges all over the U.S., and some include the Purple Onion, Gotham Comedy Club, the San Francisco Punchline, Rooster Teeth Feathers, the San Jose Improv, the Ice House here in Pasadena, the Comedy Store, and she's also won the 2011 Battle of the Bay competition. She's co-produced many successful shows for Operation Funny, and that's a show that donates to veteran organizations, and she released her first live comedy album, I'd Eat Them Both, on March 6, 2012. Welcome, Kelly McCarron.
Hi.
Hi. So I sent you the article. Okay. We were supposed to have another mom comic come on. She didn't make it. And then I had another comedian that was going to tell me her story. And she actually had this situation happen to her where she had an allergy to a dog and a dog was sitting near her or next to her on the plane. And so she was kicked off. That's what she had told me, but she couldn't make it either. But Kelly and I are here. We're going to discuss it, and I have tons of great stuff to talk about. So here are the headlines. Alaska Airlines had to choose between an emotional support cat and a 15-year-old passenger with allergies. Want to guess who won? Well, apparently it was the cat. And this mom went ballistic on Facebook because she just lost it. And apparently the mother had told the airline that the child had a cat allergy, but the girl got on, somebody saw the cat that was with this 15-year-old girl and had said, you know, this kid can't go near this cat because she has a very bad allergy. So, and she also had her EpiPen, her epinephrine in her backpack, but she was made to get off the flight. And I believe they did put her on the flight. So Kelly, you read the article.
Yes.
And you also work for an airline.
I do.
Which is like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That you're on here discussing this because you are the expert on all of this and what happens. So what do you think about this? And you also have an emotional support cat.
I do. She's actually sitting on my lap right now. So I'm very well averse with it, one needing to know it for my job, and then when I fly with my cats. If the cat, I know they said they paid for a seat, but if it's also an emotional support animal that's related to mental health, relates to ADD law. I'm not ADD. That's me. It relates to ADA laws. And so therefore the cat wins hands down.
So what does ADA laws stand for?
So like American Disabled Association. So they protect anybody with a disability. And that would include a mental disability as well. So if you have severe anxiety and you need to fly with your cat, you're protected under the ADA, as long as you provide the proper documentations to have the cat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this is what's happening with these articles, because I was reading in these articles and I didn't understand why a person would be pushed off and not the animal.
Right.
But this makes sense now with that. Go ahead.
I just don't understand why and I don't know the whole story. We only know what the mom had said in her part on Facebook, but if they had asked anybody to switch around, because we have that sometimes at the airlines where there's a pet on board, whether it's a service animal or not, and somebody with an allergy, and sometimes if they're just seated far enough, like one's on one side of the plane, one's on the other, if they're seated far enough, that person's okay. You know, it's, I don't know if they're putting in that effort to try to make any accommodations or not.
Well, I'm going to go through the article briefly here. It said a flight attendant who seems more sympathetic. Okay, so the girl saw once she boarded that another passenger was holding a cat in the seat next to her, and she told an employee that she had a severe allergies to cats. One of the Alaska Airlines customer service agents allegedly started to argue with the girl, blaming her for not telling them about her allergies before she got on the plane. A flight attendant who seems more sympathetic to the girl than the customer service agent in the mom's telling then called the girl's mother. She explained that as much as she'd like to remove the cat from the plane, its owners had actually bought the cat a ticket. Now, the flight attendant said the cat owner was insisting that if anyone had to leave the plane, it should be the girl, not her cat. And that's exactly what happened. The airline told the 15-year-old she could either stay on the flight and risk an allergic reaction or else get off staying overnight in Anchorage, that's where her flight was. And so then her mom took to her Facebook and she was like cursing out Alaska, and she wrote this whole big, huge rant. They said, well, attempts were made to assist both passengers. The underage traveler elected to be reaccommodated on the later flight due to her allergies. So I guess the little girl, they asked her to sit in the back of the plane. Then she's just like, no, I don't want to even risk it. The mom says, I truly wish the airline would have engaged and offered more of a dialogue, because it seems like there might be some facts missing. And her mom just goes on in her rant and how rude everybody was, blah blah blah.
And there's always, you know, what their side, her side, and then the truth. And like, you know, I don't know if the mom was actually there with her or if she was just waiting for her daughter to travel.
Yeah, the mom was waiting for her daughter, and I think the 15-year-old was she was with another adult. So the other adult had seen the cat and was with the kid. And so she got placed on another flight. So yeah. But this has happened quite a few times. I like I said, I was doing the research, and there have been people who have been allergic to dogs and cats and actually had to be moved. A woman dragged off LA-bound Southwest flight after telling crew she had life-threatening pet allergy. And that was in 2017. They said that they asked her if she wanted to sit at the end of the plane. I read this article. Yeah. And she went crazy. And they said that maybe if she was a little nicer, they would have accommodated her better.
I will tell you as an insider tip, if the nicer you are, the more willing we are to help you.
That's what it seemed like through the articles. Yeah.
Starting gate, you know, obviously there's everyone reaches a point towards a breaking point. I mean, I know I've reached my limit on like customer service phone lines where I can't get an actual person, but if you go from 0 to 60, you know, it helps to be friendly even when you feel inconvenienced. But yeah, I know that we've had to ask people to move seats, and usually people are accommodating with the pet allergy, but I mean, we can't help that you guys are on the same flight.
It's interesting to me, because, you know, with that whole peanut allergy issue, you know, and I have it here as well. Like, they made a whole law about like no airlines carry peanuts. Right. Yeah. And some people, I heard this story on YouTube where a woman got on a plane and they told everybody, this woman has a severe allergy to peanuts. She could die. So no one eat any peanuts. And there was a woman, like, they waited until, I guess this woman waited until 30 minutes until she almost got off the flight, and she started eating these peanuts and they could smell it. And the woman who had the allergy started freaking out, and she was like, I know someone has peanuts in here. I can smell it. So the lady next to her was like, what are you doing? You're eating peanuts. They said that lady could die, you know? And they just made like a whole big thing. They called the flight attendant over, and the flight attendant is like, what are you doing? You know? But yeah. My thing is, I'm kind of confused because they make these strict accommodations for the peanuts, but yet for the pets, they don't. And the allergies, I mean, someone could have a severe allergic reaction to dander.
Right. I mean, I would have to do research on this. I've never heard of somebody having a severe reaction to pet dander as some people do with peanuts. Like, I've never heard of
I think you're right. I've never heard of a severe. People usually, from my experience as a nurse practitioner, what they'll do is they'll get like a skin rash. Maybe their eyes will water.
Yeah.
But it's not like an oral, like it's not as severe as their throat is going to be itching and closing up.
Yeah.
And that is an interesting point to debate, which is why I think that they're letting pets on still with humans who have allergies, because it's not as severe. So that would be an interesting thing. I should have pulled, like, now that I'm thinking about it, I should have pulled to see if there is an article on that. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, then you have people who have service animals, whether it's emotional or, you know, seeing eye dogs, or, you know, dogs that can, you know, sense when you need to take, you know, your diabetes medication or whatever. You know, they have to be on board too, because they're there for a purpose, to assist a customer. So it's like
they're doing a job. Really, yeah.
It's a really, really big gray area. It's just all gray. But it's the airlines usually have to make a decision, and they usually will err on that side as opposed to maybe with the allergies, because like I said earlier with the ADA, if it's a service animal of any kind, they're going to side with the service animal.
And they're protected under that law.
Yeah.
Right. Because then the person with the service animal would legally be able to sue the airline. Correct. Yeah. They're protected under that law. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, what Vicky is that she's 15, and I was looking at Alaska Airlines. It's a requirement for that they be a technical unaccompanied minor, where there's a fee paid and services of them being escorted to and from the plane. And that's goes until from 5 to 17. However, it's optional from ages 13 to 17. And so I don't know if they opted out of that or not.
I think she opted out. It sounds like she opted out of it.
Yeah.
So, to me, because they said they did call the mother, and then they probably felt the best thing to do was just to get her on another flight.
Yeah. You know what? That's going to, you know, toughen her up for the real world.
That's a good way of putting it on it, you know.
There's no storm. This time it's not about you. It's about a cat.
It's It's true. It won't make her a narcissist, you know? It's like, hey, not everything is about me.
Yeah.
It's sometimes about other people and their cats and stuff. I had the Alaska Airlines policy that I pulled on their animals.
Yeah, I could tell you what it, because I looked at it too.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. You know, because, you know better than me.
Because like recently, I'm sure you've heard like there was like the emotional support peacock and all this stuff. And
right. Oh my gosh. Yes. I forgot to pull that article. So talk about that story a little bit.
So I don't remember too much of the details, but somebody was traveling with their emotional support peacock and people were like, are you serious? A peacock? Like, I didn't even know you could have that as a pet, let alone a service animal. So basically how it used to be for most, and I think it was general across the board for airlines. But how it was is all you needed was a letter from your doctor, the doctor that's treating you for a mental health disorder, stating that they're under your treatment, they're treating you for this, you need this animal to fly, and it had to just be dated within the last year. And then that we couldn't argue with it. That's, you have the paperwork. Recently, I think probably earlier this year and on, airlines have been changing it to be stricter. It used to not really say what animals, except for like, you can't have, like, you could never have reptiles or like spiders, anything like that, or rodents. But now they've also, basically they've narrowed down, and I'm not sure about every airline, but I know for sure the one I work for has narrowed it down to dogs, cats, and miniature horses.
So you can bring a miniature horse on.
You can bring them, as long as it's, you have the paperwork to back it up, you can bring your emotional support miniature horse.
That's cool. That's like, I watched the Housewives of Beverly Hills, and Lisa Vanderpump, she had one of those miniature horses. She has like a few of them, you know, and I think they didn't take it on the plane. She had it delivered to her. But yeah, I guess you can take one of those little horses with you.
I heard rumors that, you know, people would be like, oh, I had the miniature horse, but I never saw one myself.
That's interesting. But
I've heard of, you know, in the past I've seen birds. Someone tried to bring, there was a chicken.
A chicken.
But now
it's my emotional support chicken.
Yeah. But now it's with dogs, cats, and miniature horses. And then the paperwork has to be sent into the airline ahead of time. And you have to sign something verifying that your animal will behave properly. Because a lot of people were just getting a letter signed by a doctor.
Right. I had a patient. That happened to me. I had a patient come in and I wasn't really aware. And the mom was giving me this sob story of how, hey, can you just sign this paper because my landlord's going to evict us because we can't have dogs. And the kid really loves the dog and it makes her feel good. So I was just like, okay. And I just signed it, but the kid didn't have any, like, she wasn't diagnosed with depression or anything like that. I mean, technically I should have sent her to psych, to a psychologist to get her evaluated for that. But then I heard there's something online that you can go ahead and register and get, do you know?
Yeah, there's these sites online that will sell like service animal badges and vests that you can put in your dog. And I've researched a lot of those because we get them a lot at the airlines, and they all say check with your, I don't know if they are foolproof for like housing, but they all say, every site I looked at said, verify with your airline on their policies, you know, because it's, and that's what it is. We don't care if they have a vest or not. That doesn't matter. We need to know what service they provide. And if it's any emotional or mental of any kind, then you need to have the proper documentations. If you don't have the proper documentations and your animal doesn't behave well, then you don't go. Then it's not a valid claim.
That makes a lot of sense.
For abusing it and not, because they wanted to bring their dog, but they didn't want to pay the extra fee to bring a dog.
That's what people used to do at Disneyland. When I worked at Disneyland as a nurse, people would do that all the time. They're like, oh yeah, I have this note from my doctor and it means I could go to the front of the line and all the rides, you know? And so then God, I forgot how it went. Like, they had to change the policy because people were, like, for his stupidest things, and just because they wanted to go to the head of the line, you know. Yeah, so they have to come in, and we have to give them a special pass, and they have to send it, either show us the doctor's note. I think after it was show us the doctor's note, I forgot how it went, but it was something like that. Yeah, but people were really abusing it. I mean, it's like the airline thing. People were, hello, why would you take a chicken on board? Like,
yeah. Right.
I guess it could be your emotional pet, but come on, you know?
Yeah, they had to draw a line somewhere because, I mean, Peacock, it got ridiculous. Like, it got to a peacock.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy and out of control.
So
the New York Times wrote a huge article on this, I believe in 2016. Mm-hmm. And let's see if I could find. Yeah, and they went ahead and said, hey, just because you have an allergy to something, that's what the article said, doesn't mean that they're going to kick off the animal. You will be kicked off. And it's best to know, you know, how severe your allergy is. Tell the airline, ask them.
Yeah.
You know, are there animals? And so that you could get another flight or be put somewhere else. So here's just a clip of the New York Times article from 2016. If you're traveling, call the airline or the train ahead of time to find out what their policies are, so you're well informed going into the trip. And this is from Dr. Carrie Sennett, Chief Executive of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. If you are bothered while traveling, you have to say something to the person next to you or to the flight attendant. It's important to have your medications with you in flight and carry them on and don't check them in, and make sure that your medications are up to date. And for those with severe allergic reactions, which is not uncommon in cases like peanut allergies, he recommends keeping the medication epinephrine and auto injectors on hand with you. Do they have them on the plane? Do they have an EpiPen?
You know what? I don't know. Not that I know they have first aid kits and they have oxygen if somebody needs that. I know they have certain things on the plane, but I'm not sure about because I'm not a flight attendant.
Yeah, so I don't think
yes or no definitively.
Yeah, I almost would say no, they don't have it. So what's the protocol in the event of a medical emergency? This one was Allegiant Air explained its actions in the following emailed message. In instances where passengers become ill or experience other medical issues, Allegiant, like many other major air carriers, work with a third-party organization to make decisions to ensure the safety of the passenger in question. The third-party team includes medical doctors who are available 24 hours a day to provide guidance to our ground and in-flight crew members. Based on the advice of the third-party physician, decisions are made about whether or not it is the safest course of action to allow a passenger to continue on board. Well, I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, there's a hotline to call whether for whatever it is, if somebody's not feeling well, or if, you know, or if you see something, like maybe you see somebody throwing up and, well, where are you going? Let me call. And you have to get their medical history. The nurse you talk to will evaluate and will let you know if they're fit to fly or not. Because we don't want to have to make an emergency landing anywhere.
Right, right. And it says right here, what would an airline do if this happened in the air? In addition to carrying a first aid kit and medical kits, most airlines have medical support on call. And over 130 global airlines contract with MedAir to supply advice, according to Dr. Paulo M. Alves, Global Medical Director with MedAir. The most common ailments are gastrointestinal, involving nausea and vomiting, followed by common fainting and seizures, chest pain and strokes, and the company usually recommends diverting the flight because time to treatment is critical, although the judgment ultimately rests with the pilot, who must weigh security concerns and well-being of the other passengers.
Yeah. On the plane, it is the captain's final decision. So if it's on the aircraft, whether, and that's anything, like if it's some drunk guy just being annoying, if he doesn't want him on the plane, he can kick him off. It's his call. That's kind of cool for the captain.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I've dated a couple of pilots. One of them, I think they were captains, I don't know. One flew private, mm-hmm, for like some millionaire dude. And the other one flew for like a charter airline. It was with a big company, but then they were like the smaller charter that takes people to like Coachella and to Burning Man and stuff like that. So they had interesting stories to tell. Did you know that 75% of pilots are dyslexic?
No, I did not know that.
I didn't know it either. One of them told me, because I said, I always make this joke that I'm dyslexic. I think I am dyslexic. My brother is dyslexic. I've never been formally diagnosed, but I believe I am because of just certain parts of my history. Excuse me? Go ahead.
It's 57%.
It's 57. It's 75. I know, 57. No, but I Googled it. It's like 75%. And it's true. Like, I thought he was just joking. And he goes, did you know 75% of pilots are dyslexic? But what dyslexia does is it makes you see patterns better. So I guess in a pilot, their brains work a little bit differently. So they're better able to stay focused in a different sense. I mean, they're not going to be spelling things correctly. Like a spelling bee, there's not going to be a spelling bee on the flight, but I think it makes their brains more prone to see other patterns that they might need to. So this is what he explained to me, which was very interesting. I tell people all the time, whenever I joke about my dyslexia, they're like, oh my God, but you're in healthcare, da 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 da, and you can't be dyslexic. I go, let me tell you, 75% of the pilots are dyslexic.
Yeah. So,
there you go.
Right.
We don't, you know, planes are not flying out of the sky every day. So, okay. So I did find the Alaska policy right here on booking pet travel, and they do have the service and emotional support psychiatric animal here, and they have the whole policy. Did you hear that story of when they put a dog in the
on the overhead?
Do you know that story? I think that was American, right?
Yeah, so I think it was American. Yeah, they kept telling this family to put their bag in the overhead. And I think, I don't know if there was, if I'm remembering this wrong, I think there may have been a language barrier or not. I don't know. Or they just, the in-flight was not listening to them. But they were trying to tell them that their dog was in the bag. Like, it wasn't like a purse. It was an animal carrier.
Oh, wow. And,
made them put it up in the overhead, and then but then there were reports that there was barking, and then the barking just stopped. That was like unbelievable. I could not, again, like, I don't know all the info, but it's like, what are you, like, how do you not know that that's a dog inside of there? Like,
and I just heard a blurb of it, and I just was, I was mortified. You know, I don't have pets, but I love pets. And I just was like, are you kidding? Like, how could that happen? I think you're right. It was just a language barrier. Sometimes people say,
like, things I can't. Like, open it, and then like, it's a dog, like, back off. Like, even if they didn't understand me, like, visually showing, like, this is a dog.
Yeah. I don't know. That one was just really weird. And I know the American got a lot of flack.
Yeah, and they should also know, unless the family was smuggling the dog, which I don't think they were, but they should also know how many animals they have on board as well as people, because that's something that should be in their paperwork.
Yeah, it's true. It says here for Alaska, the pet carry counts toward your carry-on bag. A customer may travel with a maximum of 2 pet carriers. That's kind of interesting. In the main cabin only, when the adjacent seat is purchased by the same customer. And it's at no point can an animal occupy a seat by itself.
Yeah, so you can't have the pet in a seat, but they have to be underneath the seat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, like, if I have 2, I can buy the second seat next to me.
And put them on there.
They still have to go underneath the seat.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So do you have any, like, interesting flight stories by any chance? Do you fly a lot though, working for an airline?
I do fly a lot. One time the captain kicked off a guy because he The flight attendant walked by, his seatbelt wasn't buckled, and he said, "Hey, I need you to buckle up." We hadn't left yet, but the doors were closed, we were getting ready to taxi. He's like, "I need you to buckle your seatbelt." And he goes, "Suck my dick."
No.
All right. So flight attendant, and it was a male flight attendant. He went up and told the captain what had happened. And the captain came down to the guy's seat and told him to get off. And they had to, like, I think he was kind of drunk because they had to, like, wake him up.
Oh, geez.
And
yeah.
He was like, "Yeah, you're not flying today. You're getting off this plane." And yeah, it's a lot of interesting, like, drunk story. I did stop a fight in the bathroom once.
Oh, wow.
Not on the plane, but in the gate area. I was just getting off my shift and I went to the restroom and I hear these two ladies speaking in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, and they're just speaking very loudly at each other, and I don't know why. And then I opened the stall door, and it turned out to be a mother and an adult daughter. The mother, I see her lunge and tackle her daughter to the floor.
No way.
Yeah. And she's like, "You made us miss the flight." Like, she started speaking in English. And then it turns out that the adult daughter was drunk, and that's why they all missed the flight. Like, they all got kicked off the flight. And yeah, I had to, like, call the police, and, like, eventually she was arrested. And
no way, she was arrested? It was like,
yeah. I think they were going to let her go, but then she kept hanging around, and I don't know what she did to get herself arrested, but apparently it wasn't, like, the first time she's had issues with alcohol, but, like, it was just, like, I just wanted to use the restroom. Like, I ended up having to, like, I've never had to pull a person off of somebody else.
Oh, my God. It's, yeah. Like, yeah, it's pretty insane. It's, like, I was just using the restroom. I'm, like, innocent, and now I'm walking into shit, literally.
I just needed to wash my hands, and
that's what happens. By the way, I was listening to NPR yesterday.
Yeah.
Kind of mentioned this before to you. And lo and behold, they had this whole news article, or they were talking about airplanes and flying, because I think now that they're going to have extended flights going to Australia, which is the 20-hour nonstop.
Yeah.
Which is 18-hour to, and I think it's on Qantas, is going to be going to Australia. And I forget where the other flight was going to be going, but there are these extended nonstop flights. And there was a physician on there, and he was a special airplane physician. I think he actually worked for this company that this New York Times article had mentioned. And so he was talking about, you know, you need to hydrate yourself better. They're going to have, like, better meals on these planes to ensure hydration. What he did recommend is not to eat the first meal, which was interesting, because he says you should be sleeping during that time. Mm. And so he says, take a sleep as soon as you can. You know, take your melatonin, which will help you to acclimate to the other country's time zone when you get there, so you won't feel so out of it. Yeah. What he also said, which was really interesting, because they were talking about blood clots and people who do sit in planes for an extended amount of time, that it's better, of course, that they walk around so they get circulation going.
Yeah.
And yeah, stuff like that. And then also, they talked about what the dirtiest part on the plane was. Do you know? What do you think it is?
I'm going to guess the tray.
The tray is one of them. He did suggest to wash off the trays, to clean off the trays with hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
So he did really suggest that.
Tell you why I say that, because I have found diapers in the backseat pocket.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah.
That's bad.
There are changing tables in the bathroom, but either people don't know that or they choose not to know that. I have found diapers in the backseat pocket.
Oh my God. I am I was glad I listened to that yesterday, because I was like, I never do that. You know, I just put my stuff on there. Like, I'll put my books or my computer or whatever.
I don't know if you ever have seen anything passenger shaming on Instagram. It's an Instagram account called passenger shaming. And, like, I would say 90% of it is, like, pictures of people's, like, feet.
Oh,
where they shouldn't be, like, somebody's, like, foot is, like, peeking through to the other row ahead of them or something like that. Or they'll just take weird pictures of people doing stuff, like doing yoga in the front of the plane or something. It's a really great Instagram to follow.
I have seen those pictures that friends have taken of people's feet, like people wearing flip-flops. Yeah. And they're like, this is so disgusting. People should stop wearing flip-flops. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it's for the men. It's mostly men because they're like, oh, these men's feet are so ugly because they're wearing flip-flops. And I'm just like, chill out. I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, so the most sturdiest part of the plane is the lavatory. I have a few flight attendant friends. So every time we would talk about the bathroom, they'd be like, the lav. I'm like, what's the lav? The lavatory. Oh, the bathroom? No, that's what we call it on a plane. It's called a lavatory. So, so the lavatory. But which part of the lavatory? You'd think the toilet? No. Because before my friend, yes, it's the door. Very good. It's the door going in and going out. It's the door, and it's also the water handle, the faucet. Yeah. To turn on and off the faucet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those things. So they recommend, holding a little Kleenex when you're going out and cleaning it. But they said those are the most dirtiest. My friend used to tell me, make sure that whenever you use the lav in the toilet, that when you flush, you put the toilet seat down.
Yeah.
Flush it. That's one thing that always like freaks me out, because it's like germs galore, and who knows what germs.
Yeah.
They also said don't brush your teeth with the water.
Oh yeah.
That's in the lav, because you don't know if it's recycled or what, or what's going on with that. Yeah. So they said really wash your teeth with bottled water. Another thing they suggested, which I thought was very interesting, and I kind of do this when I go there, or when I go on a flight, is to put the air, you know how the air shoots down on you?
Yeah.
Put it shooting down on you instead of in another direction, because what's that doing? That's filtered air. So that air is cleaned. So if someone is sick and sneezing, it's going to push it away. Yeah. So, but if you push it towards them, then it's going to push it right back at you.
Yeah.
So you want to put it on top of you so that it's like the clean air and you're breathing in the clean air instead of other people's germs,
that I did.
Goobers. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I was like, ooh, that's a good tidbit of information. And it was so great that they were doing that yesterday, right before this podcast today.
Yeah.
And we can bring it to all our listeners here so that they can be forewarned. I know people that, go on board with the masks. Like they'll put on these little surgical masks, but they have special ones that say, not my germs, your germs, or something. They have like stupid sayings on them.
Yeah. I know in some cultures it's just like, I'm sick and I don't want to get you sick, so I'm wearing this mask to keep my germs to myself.
Exactly.
Which is the polite thing to do, especially if you're in a
trip. I totally agree. If you're sick, keep it to yourself. That's what I always say. I try to keep it to myself when I'm sick, you know. Just keep it to yourself. There's some people that are just sloppy sick people, and they will sneeze all over the place. There'll be Kleenex all over. I mean, I'll do that in my home. Like, I'm a sloppy sick person, but in my home, I only live by myself.
Yeah.
So, and I really try to keep it clean when I'm out and about to other places. Sometimes a Kleenex, ball of Kleenex will escape, but what can I do? You know?
I always hate when I'm in public and like I'm sniffling because like my nose is running. And maybe it's just allergies. Maybe I'm not really that sick, but I just hate being the person that's always like, just like, come on, lady. And it's just like, I'm sorry. Nobody says anything to me ever, but I always feel that they are in their head, or if I'm clearing my throat too much, like I'm like hyper aware of that.
To me, people always be like, are you sick? Are you sick? You know, oh my God, you're sick. Like, especially at one of the clinics I work at in the desert, like my nurse is always like, I cannot sniffle or sneeze. He is a huge hypochondriac and he will start reaming me, you know? And I'm like, I'm not sick, it's just a little bit of nasal, whatever. I rarely ever get sick. But when I do, I try to like cut it as soon as possible. I take as many supplements as I can, and I'm kind of a bit of a freak about it. Yeah, I have. Yeah, the funny thing with my flight attendant friends, I had one. She was a good friend of mine, and whenever we'd go to a bar, and people would ask us what we would do. So they would ask me, so what do you do? And I'd be like, oh, I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. And so there would be crickets right after I would say that, and people wouldn't know what to say. And they'd kind of back away or leave, or they're like, that's such a noble profession. Or they would say something like, oh, that's so sad. You know, like kids are, I guess they visualize kids dying all over the place, and that doesn't happen. There's actually a very fun place to work at. But my friend, whenever she'd say she was a flight attendant, they get so excited. Like, oh my gosh, where do you go? And where have you flown to? And they would want to know about all her stories. And she merely had no stories. She was really a boring person. And whenever she was home, because she did work a lot, I mean, I think she flew 100 hours a month. And I think that's the legal. Do you know what the legal flight? It's something
I don't know
like
what it is, flight attendants. And because I don't know how it works, if it's based on where your base, home base is, let's state it's in. I know in California, like, I can't work more than 60 hours a week.
Yeah, it was something, they had a certain amount of flight hours that they could do a month. Yeah. So she was always just home sleeping. She was so exhausted. Yeah. And she never went anywhere past the Arcadia Mall. So I even put that in my, like, one-person show. I mean, that's how boring. I would tell people, she doesn't go anywhere past the Arcadia Mall. Like, I have a much more interesting life than she does.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. But I think that's the comment. Everybody's very interested. I used to want to be a flight attendant too, because I loved the uniforms back in the day. Especially I used to want to work for Alitalia so I could go to Italy and visit my family for free and stuff. But
they're trained to deal with medical situations, so you already have that going for you.
That's true. They
They're more than servers of Diet Coke. They do more than just serve Diet Coke. People don't realize that, I think.
That's true. And my friend, you know, sometimes they would get frustrated. They're like, we do a lot more. Our job is much more than that. And they would tell us, you know, what they did, and they'd have stories and they have situations and how they would help people out. And it's funny. She would always use like plain lingo. She'd be like, yeah, I'm the purser today. I go, what does that mean? So I guess she was the person in charge. And so I go, what do you have to do? She goes, I have to play the video. And this was back before the digital movies and stuff that they put in. I believe she worked for American. And she's like, yeah, I have to put the video in. That's my job. And so, then she was the one who told people to, you know, she had to, well, I think all of them had to do the mask thing and stuff like that. But but she was in charge of all the flight attendants and stuff. And it was a very seniority based thing. Good. Yeah. But I just had a bad flight when I went to Italy in 2016. What had happened? Oh yeah. I was flying on British Air, and I knew right when I transferred to San Francisco, from Los Angeles, that they had lost my luggage. I knew it was just something. I had a weird, weird feeling. And I was going to a wedding. I was going to London first for a few days, and then I was going to a wedding in Italy, and I had like three bags. I had gifts in my luggage and shoes, everything I needed. And when I got to London, they were lost, and I didn't even get them until my last day in Italy. So my whole trip was 15 days, so I never got my bags. But coming back, so I had flown on British Air going there, and I sat all the way in the back of the plane, and this man next to me, I think he was an alcoholic. He reeked so bad. He was an older gentleman. Oh, it's just so terrible. And that's like a 12-hour flight.
Yeah.
And, you know, but on the way back, I came on Turkish Air, and everybody kept telling me at that time there was a coup going on in Turkey. So they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're flying Turkish Air. But it was like cheap. It was dirt cheap. And I ended up flying like first class because my ticket was so cheap. And I'm like, I'm just going to pay for it and go first class. It was so amazing. It was the best flight ever. You know, it was really, really nice. And I actually had my ankles were getting swollen because of something with the change in barometric pressure. When you go to another country, my legs will start to swell at the end of the trip. And I'm very active in stuff like that. And someone had just told me it's something with the different hemispheres or something like that. I don't know. Don't quote me. I don't know exactly what that meant. But yeah, so, and they gave me a special tea on the plane in first class. It was super awesome. Yep.
Gosh. I bet, yeah, first class international. That's
super nice. You want to try the best. I was like, if this is the only time and if I die and if there's a coup and the plane gets shot down, hey, I'm going to die in like luxury and pleasure. And it would have been the best way to die. But anyway, so do you have anything else to add?
Oh gosh. No, I'm just, my cat just joined me now.
So you also have a support cat. So do you travel with your cat as well?
I actually have two, they're sisters. So it's kind of like a package deal. I haven't traveled. I try to, if I'm not driving and I'm gone for a long time, I like to have them with me for my anxiety and depression. So a lot of people think like they need them on the plane, but like I need them where I'm going. So I like to have them with me. So it's actually the traveling with them is really frustrating because it's two of them. They're kind of fatties. They're heavy. Like I have to have like, I got like a cart to drag them around because I'm that kind of person. I like having them. Yeah. Like if the last time I traveled with them, I was going to be home for the holidays for like almost a week. So it's like, yeah, I'd like to have them with me. Cause I also like, I feel like I don't want to abandon them like with a cat sitter. Like I'm very like, people like cats are self-sufficient. You just need somebody to like, go in and feed them and then yeah, they can leave. And I'm like, but they need human contact. They need to be pet. They need to know that they're loved.
I think that's true. I don't think you can just abandon a cat and not be there. I think they do get lonely.
Yeah.
And they do get a little schizo when their people aren't around and stuff. Yeah. I think dogs get more schizo when you're not around, but yeah.
My mom has like anxiety meds for himself because he gets so like the dog takes anxiety pills because he gets so neurotic and like he needs to calm down. He
has anxiety
downers as we call them.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But my cats are real chill to travel with, but they also changed one of the other things they changed this year. Cause like there was no rule about how many service animals you could have. And they recently changed it with the emotional support service animals that you can only have bring one. So I have traveled under this thing. So I'd have to have one as my pet and one as a service animal.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Very interesting. Yeah. One other thing I'd like to just add on, which is good for anybody who has an allergy out there and who has to have an EpiPen. Well, the Food and Drug Administration just a couple days ago went ahead and approved the first generic version of the EpiPen. And there was a lot of controversy a few years ago because this guy, Schreckel, had bought the company that was making epinephrine. Mm-hmm. And there was no generic brand. So he raised the prices way sky high. And I believe at the time it was $1,200 and they lowered it to about $600. And that company was Mylan right here. I have it. And it had come under intense criticism for raising the price of its Epi sixfold since buying it in 2007. So Mylan's device had been plagued by periodic shortages with consumers scrambling again in recent months to find a reliable supply. That is so unethical. And yeah. I'm surprised that they've waited this long for them to come out with a generic because it's usually 7 years after the brand comes out. So I don't know why it took so long. It's probably a lot of political garbage. Yeah, I used to work for a pharmaceutical company. And it's interesting because in this article, it goes by, you know, it's basically going to be the same drug for $100, but the branding is going to be different and the packaging is going to be different. And let me tell you something about pharmaceutical companies. They really focus on their branding and packaging. Like I had hours upon hours upon hours, and I went to meetings in different states to focus on the branding and packaging. That's what they spent most of their time educating us on. Mm-hmm. Not the health benefits, not how we can make it better for this patient, not how much longer this patient would live. No, the branding and packaging. That's all they cared about and how we were going to deliver our message. So it was pretty crazy. So I'm so glad the FDA did this.
Yeah.
Because it is expensive.
Same thing. People, you know, it's... Yeah. It's really criminal that he, I mean, I think he did go to jail.
Right? He did go to jail. Right. Yeah. He did.
That was justice. Yeah. To raise the price up 600% on something that saves lives.
Well, that's something that is needed. I mean, if you have, there are people with severe allergies. What are you going to do? You can't just take Benadryl. Benadryl's not going to cut it. When your throat starts closing off, you can die.
Yeah.
So the fact that this, they're making it, hey, so if you want to live, you got to pay $600. You know, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
I didn't realize how expensive they were.
Yeah. Some of the kids that I prescribe epinephrine to, they come in and have to get their refills and stuff. Sometimes they need two or three of them because they need one for school, one at home, and one like at grandma's house or dad's house or whatever. You know, so that's 600, 600, and 600. I mean, I think in one case or two come in one case, in one package. So it's $600 for both of them. But yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I thought I was upset about my inhaler being $30, but I guess.
Oh yeah, you find yourself lucky.
Yeah.
Because other people are spending $600 on their epinephrine.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Kelly, anything you'd like to go ahead and promote? Anything that you're coming up? Are you performing anywhere?
Not right now. I don't have anything right now. If you want me to perform, contact me.
Yeah, if you want to hire her, she's for hire. Okay, and we'll have your information at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm interested in listening to your album.
Yeah, do so.
So I'll put the little link on there at the end.
Yeah, it's
maybe we can use a little song at the end of this. We'll finish it off with one of your songs.
Well, it's a comedy album.
Oh, okay. It's a comedy album.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could auto-tune
Maybe I'll put like, I'll auto-correct it. Yeah, maybe I'll put like a little blurb of your comedy on here. Okay. Cool. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for coming on the show. You were great. Informative. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah. And thank you, nurses and hypochondriacs, for listening. You can follow us on Facebook under Nurses and Hypochondriacs, on Instagram under Rogue Nurse Media. You can follow us on Twitter under Nurses and Hypocon. And go ahead and on iTunes, feel free to give us a rating. We would love that. And also give us any comments. Please have them coming. Also, if you'd like to go ahead and volunteer for us, I do give clinical hours and you can learn about podcast production, how we put everything together here. This is a public health type podcast. It helps everyone. It's also a nursing. It encompasses so many different areas and it's also fun, comedic, and educational. So yeah, please donate to our Patreon, which we'll have a link at the end of the podcast, and also to Venmo. And that's it for us. Until next time, fly the friendly skies and be safe. Bye.